Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Danny, a young man with muscular dystrophy, has been disillusioned by too many failed relationships. He decides he wants to shake things up, step out of his comfort zone, and into the world of online dating. An unexpected match with Maddie, an enigmatic photographer, challenges him to be vulnerable and sparks a profound journey of self-acceptance and discovering the extraordinary beauty of his unique body. The film is called Good Bad Things, and we're joined today by the director, Shane D. Stanger, as well as the writer and lead actor, Danny Kurtzman. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good Bad Things is a very effective film. I thought you both did an extraordinary job of getting us involved in Danny's life, the character development, the story around him, and the people that he cares about. It just works very, very well. Danny, I'm going to start with you. What inspired you to begin this project, Good Bad Things?
It's honestly just, you know, Shane and I pulled together 25 years of friendships and experience that we've had over the years into this film. And I'll be honest, I had no idea what I was doing going into this, or that I even was going to be doing a movie. And Shane just supported me throughout the whole entire process and got me, and I didn't know like anything, and he's like, you're gonna act. And I was like, okay. He's like, you're gonna write with me. And then it's like, okay, now we're gonna produce together. And it was just like so much of a masterclass that he helped me kind of just snowball into where we are at this moment. But yeah, and then Shane, just being Shane, allowed me to inject my experience living with a disability and what that journey's been like and where I'm at currently, specifically like in the last couple of years, and how special the last couple of years have been with my kind of redefining what being disabled is.
Shane, where did you sort of, as you were collaborating, where was the writing, and then how does this kind of play out in terms of division of labor, if you will, moving forward from that?
Well, I mean, if the story we came up, we basically just sat down together the whole time and just talked through it all. You know, Danny was the centerpiece for sure. And then we knew we wanted to capture our friendship as sort of, I think, the core storyline. As you know, you kind of see through the film, it really is about Danny's relationship with Jason. And that becomes the driving force of a lot of the movie. And so we knew that we wanted to capture the friendship we had. So that was a big piece of it. But yeah, once again, it was really about Danny's story. So a lot of the writing, you know, would come from, you know, me poking him a little bit and just asking questions, you know, things that I probably hadn't asked him that you don't ask your friends about, things to just, you know, try to get him talking and try to hear how he felt about something. Or if we're in a moment and we're like, hey, what are we trying to accomplish here? All right, Danny, like, how would you feel in this moment? How would you say this? What did this feel like? Right. So a lot of it was just sort of like poking Danny to get information out of him that I could have guessed at, but you know, I had him right in front of me. So there was a lot of that, just getting to know him, you know, better in a whole different way than we've known each other for the last little while. But yeah, it was, I think across the board, always about the friendship and about how, you know, Danny, the person, feels in situations, so we could kind of take them into Danny, the character. I don't know why we named him Danny twice, but yeah, this is how it went down.
Yeah, Danny, I want to ask you, because I feel like in the process of writing this, as Shane was describing, was there a first draft, second draft, third draft? And as those, I assume there were, in terms of writing the script. And as you went through that process of refining the script, did you find yourself more willing and able to be able to talk about things that, as Shane was just mentioning, that things that you felt more comfortable or prompted to, or how did that evolve over the course of making the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the story goes, like, 3 months before we were supposed to be on set shooting, Shane was supposed to have a script done by another writer that wasn't Shane or myself. And he got it, hated the script. It was very ableist and off tone. And Shane said, listen, we can just not do the movie, or you and I can sit down and do this ourselves. So Shane and I sat down, and he taught me how to write the beats together. He went off and wrote the script. And then, yeah, every single week, Shane sat down with me and was like, what do we want to rewrite? How do we want to elevate the script based upon what we learned this last week, and how your relationship with Jason, Brett Dyer, is like evolving, and Jess. And so letting me to just inject what I was learning very quickly week to week on set into the script and getting that evolved. And it was definitely like a continuous process. There were some days that we were literally rewriting this the day before shooting it, but it just added so much to, I think, the final cut.
So no, I was just going to add, we shot, we on purpose shot 4 day weeks. That way we always had a long weekend, because the script ended up being kind of rough. I mean, it was definitely rushed, right? Faster than I would ever do it again, but we were on a time crunch. And so what happened was, like, the first draft was definitely a work in progress, but it was enough for us to decide to move forward. And so what we did is we scheduled it to do 4 day weeks. That way we always knew that we would have time to, you know, make it better, make tweaks as needed. We scheduled the shoot in a way where the first 2 weeks were going to be all of the intimate, really just two people in a room stuff, to give us time to, you know, get any of the other scenes to kind of connect a little bit stronger. And so it was really like, it was always like a working document. Once again, I would never want to do that again, but we had the ability to, because we were a low budget, total indie crew, friends for the most part. And we were able to do something, I think, that was all about just sort of buy-in from casting crew. And part of our process was making sure we gave ourselves time and didn't just rush into the week or whatever. So yeah, we wrote every weekend, and each time, like Danny said, we built upon it, and maybe based on the performance even, we're like, okay, we're shooting, you know, scenes 8 through 10 and scene 50, whatever it is. Like, we were always sort of just like constantly just having to make sure like all the changes were going to make sense for the storyline. It was very much like we had a blueprint, but then we just went rogue as often as we needed to.
One of the strengths of the film is the believability. Obviously, that's key to telling the story, the feasibility of all of it. And also that the actors that you've surrounded yourself with in this film are just all really solid performances. I was particularly, obviously, Brett Dyer. Am I saying that correctly? Brett Dyer.
Yeah.
Terrific as you. Shay, in terms of just establishing that comfort level, I felt that roles like that you often see are overplayed. They're a little too over the top, a little too goofy, a little too whatever. But I thought that Brett found a really nice lane to be in for the entire film, and I just, my hat's off to him. And there's so much to so many actors to talk about, but Jessica Parker Kennedy, who plays Maddie, is terrific. Just everybody in the film. That's, again, really solid performances all the way through from beginning to end. So
I think it's what kind of helped me able to do the performance I was able to give, because I had my best friend, who I believe and trust in the most, behind the camera. And then I had Jason, I had Brett and Jess with me, just two well-veteraned actors that were just like so welcoming to me, being a first-time actor and just making me feel so comfortable in every scene, making me like building my confidence that I could actually be on the same set and things with them. And they were just, it was just amazing. And my multiple hats off to both of them. And I love them to death.
Yeah. And well, Danny, I'm going to, you were terrific.
Thank you.
You really were. Watched a lot of movies in my life. And I just truly, I thought that your performance was, just, it was nuanced. It just felt really solid and strong throughout the film. There's such a fine line that you managed to walk with this film throughout the story, the performances, everything. And it's affecting. I mean, truly, there's, the film builds to a sort of, I'll say it kind of the middle of the film. It's very affecting in terms of emotionally. And then as the film moves forward from there, again, you really feel like these sort of crescendos of the emotions in the film that I think were what you were going for. And I just really was taken by all of it. So yeah, congrats.
Thank you so much.
When it looks that easy, I know it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, we ended up finding our flow pretty quickly, thankfully. I think we didn't know what was going to happen. I've said this before, but like, who knew Danny was going to be able to act? Who knew I'd be able to kind of handle the job fully? Like, it was sort of just like, as we went on, we both got a little better and a little better. And, you know, we just sort of ended up finding the flow. But you know, we even made the schedule to protect ourselves from certain things where we're like, let's shoot when Danny has to get more emotional and like have more like actual like change in his character. Let's shoot that shit later in the movie so Danny learns how to act. You know, in the first couple of weeks, we'll just kind of let him be like more down, more mellow, right? And not have to put so much on his plate. I mean, it was a lot of it, and it worked, because had we switched the order around, it would have been tough. But like, we totally built, and for me too, so we sort of built the schedule around the hope that we were going to get better by the time we got to some of the more complicated stuff. And so thankfully that worked. But yeah, it was definitely a worry of ours.
Yeah, I'll hats off to Shane on that, because I go into the movie and I don't even know what a scheduling day of a set really is, and he's very scheduling me out based upon my emotions and how I'm possibly going to be able to perform. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. Yeah, it definitely worked. And he did see the scenes. He scheduled it perfectly for me to really get my bearings and really kind of evolve into, you know, I don't want to give any spoilers away to the bigger scenes that I really had to bring it. And hopefully I got there, I believe.
I thought you really, truly did. It's a comment I often make about films and filmmaking, how often the story reflects the process of the filmmaking, or the filmmaking process reflects the story. In other words, it feels like this was a support. There was a lot of support on set across the board with each other and such. And that's what the way the film feels. The story that you're telling feels a lot about that.
Yeah, it's like a family, like literally. And like, yeah, being that I was in every scene, just from producers to production assistants to, you know, our sound guy, like everyone was just all hands on deck, making sure I was just so accommodated and comfortable and ready to be me on set. And yeah, I said this to Shane, like, I'm pretty screwed for if I do have another role in the future because of like the chemistry and the vibes that Shane created on set. Was just like, we were so pumped to get going every day, and we really did not want every day to end. And we all like still come together and we're like, we miss being on set together. And from what I've heard, because this is my only time ever acting, that's not usually the case. And that's how we felt every day on Good Bad Things, is we want to do it all over again.
I just want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with the director and co-writer, and that would be Shane D. Stanger, as well as the co-writer and lead actor, and that would be Danny Kurtzman. And the reaction to the film, I know we can talk about sort of it's done very well. It did very well at Slamdance. Let's talk about being at Slamdance and sort of your reaction. Shane, we'll start with you. A reaction to the film with the audiences.
Yeah, so we didn't. So everything, I think, leading up to the festival was kind of like, this is our first time doing all this. We didn't have any premiere. We didn't have any cast and crew screening. We'd never really shown the film to anyone. And so it wasn't, I think some people go into the festivals like having a little bit more of a clear idea of how people feel. Like, we had no idea. So all we knew is we wanted to get as many people in the seats. But then we spent a lot of time, you know, just trying to make sure that we had an audience there, and we filled up the theater and people were like standing. Like, it was cool. It was a massive, massive group. But then it was like, wait, now what? Like, are we going to actually do this? And so the film turns on, and me and Danny were just sitting next to each other and kind of like curious, you know, like, it's so hard to tell. We're like watching, like, oh yes, like, we fixed, because like, I was like making changes to the movie. Like, they were like, hey, you guys like need to have the final copy of the film in already. And I'm like still like deciding to make tweaks and doing a little ADR and like, you know, so like we were down to the wires. I didn't even know like if I was like, did I fix that scene or whatever? And so like we were watching, like, yes, we fixed the first and we fixed the second that I was kind of like still having some issues with. And then, you know, a joke came on, you know, and it was always one of those jokes that I was like, well, if people think it's funny, that's cool. But if they don't laugh, it doesn't have to be a joke, right? It was like kind of one of those ones. It was like, yeah, we'll see if they like are, if they pick it up. But we, you know, we heard the giggles and we're like, okay, cool. Like that was like a nice reaction. And then some of the other jokes landed. And then, you know, all the emotional stuff, you know, dead silent in the room in the beginning. So we started feeling like, you know, we're on that ride and it felt like the audience was, you know, fully immersed in it the whole time. And I would say 15, 20 minutes into the film, we both looked at each other and we're just kind of like, fuck yeah. I don't know if I can. it was just like that moment where like, okay, we've always known and felt strongly that because of, you know, whatever reason, we just like, if we felt that if we get people engaged in that first 15, 20 minutes and take them on the ride and like, it's a slow beginning of a movie, right? We didn't kick it off with like some like crazy event, which a lot of people say grip them in the first 5 minutes. Like, you know, we didn't do it that way. And so, you know, it is somewhat of I wouldn't call it a slow burn at all, but it's like, it's a slow buildup. And part of that was, you know, intentional. We wanted to make sure that by the time the story really started, our audience had gotten to know Danny and then weren't looking at Danny as like, oh, this is a disabled guy I'm watching a movie about. It's like, this is Danny. You know, that was what we set out to achieve. And the reason we even had to is, you know, I think one of the reasons the movie works in a lot of ways is, you know, there haven't been many people with physical disabilities on TV or film in a meaningful way more than a few times. And part of what we talked about is it's because there's this stigma or this expectation that when you see someone with a disability, it's like a prop for something, right? As opposed to just an attribute. And so we recognize that that's just the state of the industry and how, you know, kind of Hollywood pumps out messaging and puts it out there. And so it was something we had to subtly address to move past it. And that's, I think, why people are resonating with the film is because that is what we did. That's what our life is, you know, on the outside. I mean, we've been friends since we were little kids. Yeah. It's so natural for me and Danny to be hanging out. I don't think of his disability like ever really. Like it's not on my mind. We're just talking, we're hanging, we're doing our thing. When it's time to go, someone picks him up. Simple as that. So it's like, I knew if I could kind of help translate my relationship with Danny to the audience, then we could go on a real journey together without any of that lingering through the rest of the film. And so that was our goal in the beginning, because we knew that we needed the audience to just connect with Danny and you know, see themselves in him in a character that they haven't seen on screen really too often. So that was the kind of the impetus of I think that first little bit. But my point is we had this reaction, I think, where we both kind of always felt like, okay, are they into it after 20 or 30 minutes? And then we felt like if people are into it, then the rest of the ride really works. That makes sense, because you asked about slam dance, but you know, that's we looked at each other when we passed that mark that we were kind of like, we never even talked about it, but we both knew it was there.
Yeah. It was the most nervous feeling of my life. So yes, I agree with you.
The way the story is told, the performances, everything about this film lets the audience know that everyone is just as comfortable, quote unquote, I hate to say these words, they sound a little weird, but comfortable with everything in the film. It's a strength of the film. It's the ability to kind of make this. This is just another version of people.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of, you know, what we have the advantage of, whereas most people maybe don't, is just because this is so natural, because this is what we do. It's like, we know the impact of a subtle, you know, shot just showing friends carrying a scooter up and someone else carrying Danny up. I mean, that's what we've been doing for years. And so we know those moments, you know, we wanted to add them in a way where they weren't like, oh, let's zoom in on show someone with their hands picking up a scooter. It's just like, let's just look at them objectively the way they are, you know. But part of the story is, you know, eventually if we see Maddie holding, picking up Danny, we don't need to emphasize it. It's just more of like, what does that mean? It's like, look at that sort of, what does that mean kind of looking down the road just to see the comfort there? So
the film Good Bad Things is going to be premiering at the AMC theaters a lot of them, apparently, right? There's going to be a lot of screenings.
50 screens, and pretty much like most major cities, we've got a theater. But yeah, it's 50 screens around the country.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And that's AMC, and you can go to amctheaters.com and you can find Good Bad Things, the listing for that. But that's August 15th is the premiere.
Yeah,
and it sounds like you've got a bit of an extended run.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, so basically we have one screening August 15th, 7 p.m. That's opening night. Then we have another screening Sunday at all the same theaters at 2 p.m. So all the theaters are having basically two screenings. So one on Thursday and then one on Sunday, the 18th. And then also we have a full week in Burbank that's going to run from the 16th to the 23rd.
Congratulations to both of you. Danny, has this experience spurred you to want to continue to pursue something in film, or what do you feel?
I'm hooked. I'm in love. I'm obsessed. I tell Shane every single day, I can't wait to get back on set. I can't wait to do another role. But Good Bad Things is like, it's our baby. And Shane and I both are like, we want to see this thing to the biggest conclusion and that we possibly can ever dream of. And that's why 100% of my energy and Shane's energy right now is in this movie. We are talking of other side projects. Shane's got a bunch that he can talk about that he's doing. But yeah, I can't wait just to be back on set and focus on acting and just doing it. It feels like so long ago. It was only 2 years ago. But I can't wait.
Well, congratulations to both of you for your work on Good Bad Things. We have been joined by the director and co-writer, and that would be Shane DeStanger, as well as the co-writer and lead actor, Danny Gertzman. Thank you so very much for your time today here on Film School Writing.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.